I went back and took a look at some information in chapter 2, starting in, I started in verse 13, and I looked at that, and while I'm talking, if you don't mind, go ahead and skim over those verses right quick, verses 13 through 25. Peter uses a word that we don't relate to very well. It's called submit. Do you have any idea why I said that we don't relate to that word very well? Well, part of it is human nature.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it, in our from the standpoint of our society, is we have in our society exalted the individual. I have my rights. If you don't believe it, just challenge me and I will get the law after you because I have my rights. Now, you don't want to run roughshod over anyone at all. That's not right. But when it comes to the body of Christ, when that spirit abounds in the body of Christ, you have problems. Because we are a body. We are a family. We are a unit. We are to love one another. We are to submit to one another. And when someone starts challenging and says, I have my rights, why can't I do what I want? Why can't I have what I want? Why can't I have my way? Then you see all of the problems that go along with it. And when you start dealing with situations and individuals who vocalize that, then you understand that the word submission is probably not a part of their vocabulary. And submission is biblical. Respect for the individual is biblical. It's right here in this passage of Scripture, here in chapter 2 and also in chapter 3. But you may notice that in chapter 3, regarding the husband and the wife and the family, there is high regard for the family. Now, I know it's talking about husband and wife here, and I'm interjecting the term family. But it does take a husband and a wife to create a family. And listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. A husband and a wife, this is my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. A husband and a wife, in my opinion, make up a family. Now, I know we always think in terms of mother, father, husband, wife, children. But you keep that in mind. Think about that. One of the things that you need to teach and tell young people is that when they get married, whether they have children or not, they're a family. They're a family.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I want to go back very quickly to information in chapter 2. Peter uses the word submission in verse 13 in chapter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Now, I'm not going to go into detail here. That's one of the reasons why I told you to skim over it, look at it, because I'm going to mention these things in this passage here. Submit to authority for the Lord's sake. And in verse 15, I believe he gives a reason. Verse 13, 14, he goes over some people that we're to submit to. And don't look at that list in 13 and 14 and say, well, okay, this, and nobody else. He's rehearsing as example, for example, some authorities that we're to submit to. Mm-hmm. 15, for it is God's will that by doing good, submitting, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. He gives a reason. He gives a reason here. So, submit to authority for the Lord's sake. The reason is to silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. The other thing that he says in verse 16 is that we are to live free, but not use our freedom as a cover for evil. Finishing the thought there in 17, show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. So if you just take a look at verses 13 through 17, you'll see how this fits. Well, I think you can see how it fits in the context, but there's almost a complete thought. There is a complete thought right there. And in verse 18, he says, slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. And again, read that on down through the next few verses of Scripture. And remember the information we looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Serve God in the capacity in which you were called. Now, primarily, the topic in 7, 1 Corinthians 7, and here in the context in chapter 3, is regarding the marriage relationship. But there's also a little information there in 1 Corinthians 7 that indicates that, or it says clearly that if you're a slave when you're called, then serve God. If you can get your freedom, then get it. If not, then serve God where you are. Anyway, looking at those verses 13 through 25 in chapter 2. So when you move into chapter 3 and see the information that's here, the first thing that is said is that wives are to submit to their husbands in the same way. So go back and look at those verses in the same way. Be submissive. Submit. This is a part of God's plan. This is a part of God's plan. And we talked about that this morning from the standpoint of the head. We even talked about it from the standpoint of in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians of the spiritual leader and the head. And we got, maybe we've got that sorted out. Maybe we don't, but that's okay. We've looked at the scripture and we've talked about it. And who knows, we might talk about that a little bit more next Sunday morning. But anyway, the wife is to submit to your husbands. And the circumstances here that Peter is talking about is a wife who is a believer and a husband who is not. And under the circumstances here in 1 Peter 3, the circumstances are such that there's not any problem, there's not any difficulty, there's not any conflict, and the wife is obviously staying with her husband because she's a believer and he's not. She has not chosen to leave him. Here's another thought, and we'll talk about it. Maybe if I remember it, we'll talk about it next Sunday morning in regard to the circumstances in Corinth. One thing that we see in our society today is that when people get married, it seems as though religion, religious beliefs, whatever, just doesn't enter into the picture at all. That there's, it just doesn't matter. And that's sad. It should matter. It should matter to us. But here's the other side of the story. And this is why I tell us that we need to consider. You can learn from the scripture without knowing anything about the city of Corinth and what was going on there. Nothing about the history and the society and whatsoever. But I think if you understand the world into which Christianity was born, that it was a very, very serious matter when one chose to become a Christian. You could lose your, you could literally lose your life because you chose to become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
There's far more to it than we're able to, I think we're able to comprehend and understand. Because of the society into which we're born and the world in which we live, as I mentioned, it seems as though religion just doesn't matter. It just doesn't enter into the picture. I know full well that many, many, many good people, church leaders, preachers, and whatever, have been won to Christ because of their spouse. But we need to think very seriously about this business. There was a sharp contrast in the world of the city of Corinth. There's a sharp contrast between those who put on Christ and those who lived in the pagan world. Here, Peter is addressing a situation, and he tells the wives to submit to their husbands, even if he is an unbeliever. And you might, if you ask the question why, I think the answer is that this is from God. This is from God. The other part of this story here is, and understand this too. There's not any conflict whatsoever between what Peter has to say and what Paul has to say. There's none whatsoever. The possibility is that the unbelieving husband may be won by the believing wife. The unbelieving husband may be won by the unbelieving or by the believing wife because of her behavior. Now, again, if you're looking at this and reading this and thinking about it, there is a good possibility that the unbeliever may be won by the wife's godly behavior. On the other hand, it seems pretty obvious that if the wife's behavior as a believer is ungodly, then she may well drive her husband away, far, far away from any possibility of ever listening to Christ. And as you notice too here, it is without words. On the other hand, we know full well that if an individual who is an unbeliever is open and willing to listen, then the believing wife may well teach her husband. But based on what Peter is saying here, he is saying simply that by your behavior, your character, your unbelieving spouse may be won without words. There's another thing that's said here. The other thing that's said here is concerning beauty. Peter goes on to say that the beauty of the believing wife is inward beauty. In verse 4, instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So, God had a beauty contest, and here's the criteria for his beauty contest. Lasting beauty. Let me add this, when you're looking at the information here in verses 3 and 4. Your beauty should not come from that, but from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Simply because the way Peter presents this. It does not mean that every Christian woman is to go about as a plain Jane. There needs to be some good, sound judgment made. God didn't ask me to consult with him when he had his beauty contest, so I'm leaving that alone now. There's a little note here. There's a little note here in the end of this. Oh, the other thing that I didn't cover is the fact that there's mention of Sarah. The statement made here in verse 6 is that Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, the King James may use the word Lord there. It has nothing whatsoever to do with anything about being blasphemous before God. This is the family relationship of husband and wife. And you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Little notation here for husbands. And when you're looking at this information and you look at it and you see six verses devoted to the woman and her conduct in the marriage relationship with an individual who may be an unbeliever or who is an unbeliever. And then when you look at verse 7 addressing husbands and think, well, there's only one verse there. It can't be that important. Be very careful. Be very careful. Husbands, and there's that phrase. When you look at verse 1, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, phraseology is very similar. In the same way, be considerate. It doesn't say be submissive. I know there are other passages of Scripture in the New Testament where Paul speaks of being submissive, submitting to one another. Here, Peter is addressing the marriage relationship, and this is the reason why. This is the reason why he puts it as he does. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, be considerate of your as you live with your wives. And as the NIV puts it, be considerate, treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Here it says partner. The weaker vessel is used in a number of other translations. And here, my assumption in verse 7 is that this is a husband who is dwelling with or living with a wife who is also a believer. I think that's what the indication here is. As heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Now, here's the very sharp point of this, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Have you ever thought of anything hindering your prayers? I don't usually think of it, but at least here, the statement is made for husbands. Be considerate. Treat your wives with respect. As heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I'm not fully sure of what he's talking about here, but I think I can get the point that if I don't behave myself properly in my relationship with my wife, there might be some things that will hinder my prayers. Now, I don't know if that hindering of the prayer is something that God does or the Spirit does, or if I just get to being contentious with my wife, that I might just choose not to pray. I don't know. Either way, I know full well, either way, it's not a good situation for me. And it doesn't, I'll add one little note, gentlemen. It doesn't matter that she's in North Carolina. I'll let you fill in the blank. Very interesting information there. We may want to keep that in mind next Sunday when we're looking at 1 Corinthians 7 again. Let's stand and see.